We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mully and Henley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a herd of speeding turtles.
I like turtles. All right, you're great zombie.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I love you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Henley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 of The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Car ready for winter? See your Car X man. He is the Score's baseball expert. He's down in Orlando at the winter meetings. He's got a lot of good information for us. And Bruce said, there's an old Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. I feel like it's interesting times for both baseball teams, especially if what you're saying here with the Manny Machado thing, I mean, that takes this rebuild to a different level in a way, and it's certainly interesting to see the Sox getting involved.
Well, it is, and, you know, you have to have your defining moments in any rebuild. It didn't appear that the White Sox defining moments were going to be anywhere near this time of year, maybe a year from now at the winter meetings. That would have made more sense with the development of the rotation, the Giolitos, the Lopez's, the Dunnings, the Fulmers, people like that. But now comes along the idea that the White Sox might want to quicken that up and take a gamble by dumping out on a couple of those top prospects and bringing in, you know, a guy that could be the face of the organization for the next 10 years.
Bruce,
Manny Machado, of course.
Do you have to, if you were a con, do you have to get that 72-hour negotiating period and do you have to get a deal done to make this deal? Or are they really thinking about trading him just to flip him to the Yankees and acquiring more prospects under control?
Well, there's all kinds of different things you can do. I mean, it's interesting, but the gamble is what you give up. I mean, you know, you're hearing people talk about Giolito and Kopech being a part of a package that would get Machado. That would set you back another year, most likely, because of the fact that, you know, you are basing the fact that you're going to win in 2019 and 2020 on the fact that you have great position players, but you also have outstanding pitching. And for a guy like Machado, he would guarantee that lineup takes a step up, and then you can envision a homer-laden, RBI-laden lineup, you know, around Abreu, around Garcia, around Eloy Jimenez coming up at the end of the season. And the centerpiece of that being Manny Machado. You have Castillo behind the plate who's going to hit home run, 20 home runs now. So you can envision an outstanding offense and better defense along the way. But the one thing you're going to have to guarantee Machado of is being your shortstop. That's what he wants to be in the future. So automatically, you have to find another place for Tim Anderson.
Well, that's not a problem for me. It's Manny Machado. So either you find another position or you find another team and get what you can for Tim Anderson.
Right, but you know, again, you're basing on your number one player in your organization as to a year ago, and your shortstop. You know, you automatically are changing the mix. So you're right, Brian. It's small potatoes if you're bringing in a seminal player like, Machado to be the face of your organization. But you're right about all those different scenarios. You can bring him in for the short term. You can get 72 hours to negotiate to see if he'll sign a 10-year deal. You can trade for him and show him what Chicago is and see all the great young players that are coming that are only a couple years younger than he is. He's only 25 years old. He's going to be a free agent at 26. you know, his great years are still ahead of him, and he's already a great player. So from all of that, you have a lot of options there, and you also gather an awful lot of attention and awful lot of goodwill for your organization and your fan base.
And also, Dan Duquette sounds like he's going to get this done by New Year's Day. He basically gave himself a deadline saying that teams have to know what they're doing moving into camp, and he said you have to fish or cut bait, and you know, as much as you don't want to flip him to the Yankees or do this and that, he said, we have control, limited control now. We have no control a year from now.
Right, and you want to strike while the iron's hot, and Duquette has upwards of 10 teams listening right now, and the White Sox are certainly right there, but it's going to be interesting. I saw Bob Nightingale report earlier this morning saying that this could be done as early as this weekend. So it's going to be up to Duquette to decide. It's going to be interesting for the White Sox to figure out if they want to gamble on some of their prospects, but it would be taking a big step forward if they got Machado and if they could eventually ink him to a long deal.
What about the Cubs? What's going on? You know, Jed said they thought they'd have another pitcher by Thursday. Theo kind of tapped the brakes on that. It looks like they're not going to have anything happening immediately. And obviously some of these rumors are involved and are just really interesting.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of names out there, and all the way in the background, you know, you're going to see Wade Davis. Don't take your eye off of Wade Davis, because as soon as they get themselves a starting pitcher, they're hoping that Davis is still around to be able to sign for the back end of the bullpen. Now, they're going to have competition with St. Louis, with Arizona, with the Los Angeles Angels. Those are teams that are in need of a shutdown closer, and Davis is going to have some markets there. But it appears one of those markets may be off the table. There were, you know, stories out there yesterday that Holland had re-signed with Colorado, has not been confirmed at this point. So that would be 1A. One is still getting a starting pitcher, and it's still hoping that Cobb's numbers come to a realistic point that they can get a deal done. If they can get a three-year deal done with an option on Cobb, then they can immediately jump to getting themselves back in the Davis situation. They'd love to have him in the back end on a similar deal, you know, for a three-year deal. They're trying to avoid these 4- and 5-year contracts for pitchers that, basically are trying to push the market beyond where their real expectations should be.
What's more likely, or what happens first? Does Zach Greinke get traded, or Jake Arrieta find a home for his 6- or 7-year, you know, hopeful $200 million deal?
Yeah. I mean, we got to talk to Boros yesterday about how tough life is for him and his free agents because of the fact that nobody wants to talk big-time free agency until the trade market is figured out. And that's the one thing that is concerning to him. He's got all these, you know, huge free agents that he wants $150 to $200 million for. And people are trying to circumvent that by making trades that make sense for them and their organization before that happens. And Boros was as frustrated as I've ever seen him yesterday, talking to the media for an hour, you know, in his form of entertainment and trying to make it interesting, at the same time voicing his frustration that Arrieta and Hosmer and Moustakas and Martinez are not getting, in his mind, the proper push at this point of the year.
What does he mean by intellectual decision?
It means that they have a tremendous amount of money and resources, and if they want to bring Jake Arrieta back, they can. Very simply, you know, he praised Tom Ricketts, he praised Theo Epstein for taking a franchise from $855 million price to now a franchise worth almost $3 billion. So he said, you know, that is all about how you decide to spend your money. If you want to spend your money on a guy that's won 3 elimination games for you over the years, that was a Cy Young Award winner, that's, won 67% or 68% of his decisions as a Chicago Cub, then you can do it anytime you want. And that's exactly what Boros meant about the Cubs, Epstein, and Mr. Ricketts.
And isn't he also saying that, unfortunately for him, I think, and Jake, there's no emotional ties there, that they've looked at this simply as moving forward rather than what the guy's done for you in the past, that they don't – There's not this, we got to have him. He's a face, one of the faces of the organization. So therefore, you know, let's overpay and overextend the contract.
Yeah, that's right, Brian. But he's still a very good pitcher.
No, I'm not. I'd love to see him back on a short-term deal or shorter-term deal. But
I'm not pushing it either way. I'm just saying that when you have the market and he's the best pitcher out there, doesn't mean it's the pitcher you want for the future. And as you say, you don't necessarily want to put 5 or 6 years on a pitcher that you think maybe has 2 really good years left in him. You know, we've seen a transition from him being the ultimate power pitcher to him throwing every pitch in the book and getting it done a different way, which is encouraging. But, you know, how many years do you want to put on that? How many millions of dollars do you want to put on that? That's the answer that Epstein and Hoyer have to come up with, along with Mr. Ricketts.
Any timetable on any of this stuff, Bruce?
No, you know, I text up and back with the agent for Cobb yesterday. He said there's no apparent reason to think that this is going to get done last night or today. So he's still taking in bids on his pitcher. No, not necessarily. I think, you know, maybe the Machado thing happens really fast. But as far as the Cubs go, you know, they laid the groundwork. They got themselves, you know, 3 pitchers here that they didn't have before. They're feeling pretty good about it. Now they just have to figure out how to make nice with Mr. Montgomery so he doesn't upset the apple cart.
I think he already upset Theo.
Oh,
yeah,
Theo didn't seem too happy.
No, he's not happy about it. But you know what? If I'm Montgomery, you have to understand, he's really an important pitcher. For a guy that's not the ace of the staff or ace of the bullpen, he's a real important piece to both, you know, what he does. And he saw at the end of the year he was getting beaten up and worn down. He's a 2-plus player, meaning he's not going to get paid even in arbitration for another year. So he knows his career is, in his mind, is on the line by going out and pitching like this, and he might never make money by the way he's getting abused. Not abused by the Cubs, but by being as good as he is at 2 different things, but not necessarily exceptional at one. And this is just his cry to get money ahead of time for what he's doing for the team. And I don't think it's unreasonable. Maybe you don't like the method, but, you know, he certainly got their attention.
All right. Great stuff as always, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is our guy, Bruce Levine, the Scores baseball expert. So much stuff going on. 312-644-6767. What do you think, Cub fans? Are you disappointed that stuff hasn't happened quickly enough? In Theo, we trust. And about Montgomery, should they pay him? Should they do something about it? It's a problem that they hadn't anticipated. And Sox fans, you know what the
Ray
big story
is. Ray Kahn going to win the winter meetings?
Yeah, oh, boy. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I had some doubts about sort of watching all the body language at spring training, but a couple of friends of mine who work with the Red Sox who really are good said, no. The makeup, he'll win a Cy Young before he's done.
Cy Young.
But the best of any guy that they had in the organization. And I know it's hard to project with young pitchers, but he absolutely, he's got a chance.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is Peter Gammons on the MLB Network talking about the White Sox pitcher, Michael Kopech. The young, what is he now, in Double-A pitcher. Is he in Triple-A? I'm sorry. He's on the verge of coming up, and he, you know, we saw, is it, it's not CSN, it's NBC Sports?
Yeah, he was talking to NBC Sports Chicago.
Thank you.
Going over what his Red Sox people are telling him, that this guy's got a chance to be.
And it's not guaranteed rate. It is. It's not the sell. Okay.
I
have these problems.
The CSN thing's going to take me a long time.
It is going to take me a long time.
Yeah.
Because unlike you, I do watch NBC Sports a ton, including yesterday.
For football.
Because that's where the EPL is.
Right.
So I watch a lot of that stuff. And that's whenever I hear NBC Sports, I'm on that channel.
Right.
I'm not thinking about, you know, the CSN, the former CSN, which is NBC Chicago. So I'll get my act together. I watch both stations quite a bit, so I'm not.
So you buying Kopech as a Cy Young winner, and if he is,
I mean, listen, Kopech to me, it's like this. you know, weird kind of party trick, right? It's like, you know, I don't know if you know people that can do some really interesting kind of personal, I've got a buddy that can alphabetize words, you know, take any word and put it in alphabetical order. It's like a trick of memory, apparently. I've read about it before, but, it, you know, that's what Michael Kopech is. It's like he's got this like, oh, wait till you see what this guy can do. Do it, do it. And then he throws 100 miles an hour, and you're like, look what he did. But I don't know how that translates right into actual pitching.
Well, that's what Peter said. And it's tough to project these guys.
Right. And that's what Coop has said,
and
right?
How do you project health with pitchers and all sorts
of health things? Is the number one thing, obviously. But I'm saying when Coop talks about, we, you know, didn't he say something last year? Like, we got a guy that wants to throw the ball through. Yeah, I mean, he's more interested in throwing, like, hey, do the party trick than he is in kind of, you know, developing
it
into
in,
a pitch. Yeah, and that's what, that is the process that has to happen. And that's what happened with Chris Sale. Where he, remember, he was he kind of had to learn to pitch. I think a guy like Kopech with that raw ability and that unbelievable party trick. And I'm it sounds like I'm dissing him. I'm just trying to say that it's like he's not a carnival act.
You know, but when you can do,
but it's something extraordinary.
When you can do what only maybe a handful of people can do at any level, let alone
So that's why I'm less anxious to see him traded, and I don't want to see Giolito traded, but he is, you know, his deal is like he's a tall dude that has a hard time, you know, kind of with the mechanics, with just the idea, and he's done very well since he was brought up, but it is tough to kind of, you know, do the same thing over and over again when you're, you know, all, you know, knees and elbows, I guess. I don't know.
But it is Manny Machado, so you don't have to project anything with him. He's already pretty well on the superstardom.
312-644-6767. Let's get to the phone lines. We'll start with Ron. He's on the south side. Ron, how are you, buddy?
Look here. First of all, I want to say this. You all producer does a great job. You know, speaking of a Cy Young, when we had Chris Sale each year, he was a pitcher, maybe, what, one of the top four or five pitchers. Not since. To me, Dick Allen, the White Sox had a player. They were considered the best player. Frank Thomas was a great hitter. So if you can get Manny Machado, you take him. But last thing is, guys, if they get him, I want them to keep him. I hope that they can extend you, because you don't want to trade prospects for him and then trade him for prospects. I mean, after a while, we want to push this ball forward. We don't want to get off the merry-go-round and quit getting prospects. You get him, that's a game changer. So you can pack Kopech's bag and whoever, and Kim Anderson, and if they can get it.
Amen.
Let's hope he gets this deal done, guys.
Well, and Ron, I said it earlier, I'll say it again.
Totally
the only way you make that deal is you request a 72-hour window, you bring your best financial package, you tell him how much you love him and want him, and you just blow the socks off of him and say, here, sign here. You don't make...
I see what you did there.
You don't make this deal on just, well, we'll get him here, and hopefully in 4 or 5 months he really likes it here, and he'll stick around, then we talk about a contract. You don't give up guys like that, your prospects, unless you know you're going to get the guy signed and he's here for the long haul.
Socks.
Got it?
I got it.
There you go.
I got it. It was good. You're good. You're good, you. You're good. Yeah, I'm all for the idea of making that move. I just think that, you know, how often do you get a chance to get a player of that capability, of that level? I don't know that you can say it's very often that comes to be. So if you can get a guy like that, you have to do it. And he's the finished product. He's not some player in training, a guy that you're projecting, a guy you're hoping about. This is the real deal.
He's not even the finished product. I mean, that's
no, he's getting better. But I'm saying
that's the beauty. You know what he is now, and
but I'm saying what he is now puts him in the baseball elite. So I'd be all for that, and it would sort of, you know, push forward the rebuild a little bit. I told you, I haven't seen a team fail in the rebuild. I'm not suggesting that the White Sox are going to. It does give me pause that, in my opinion, they haven't suffered enough. They haven't purposely suffered enough. They've suffered. God knows they've suffered. They have failed to win, and they have had bad seasons. But they haven't really done the whole Houston routine where you dump it out and you wait, and then finally, you know, and look at what Houston did. Joe, they had some missteps along the way and some top choices that didn't work out, and now look at them. They won a World Series.
And here's a texter, 67011, and I have to tell you, this thought crossed my mind when I was thinking about all this. Giolito, according to the texter, is going to be a closer in 3 or 4 years. You right. keep, not Giolito, I mean Kopech.
Kopech could be a closer.
Yeah,
yep.
You keep Giolito. You know what? When you talk about the party trick and the Aroldis Chapman fastball, I mean, you can find yourself a closer much better than you can find yourself a starting pitcher that's going to be here for the long haul.
So Manny Machado's on the south side. Chris Sale throws at him again. Whose side are you on?
Wow.
Be a tough one, Molly.
Not really.
No. Machado?
Yeah. I mean, if he's my guy, he's my guy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know how I love Chris Sale. To hell with that guy, okay? Let me just be square about it.
See, and this is also something that could change. If the White Sox get the feeling that he's on his way out, that he's looking elsewhere, he wants to leave during the season, and, you know, he does come here, then you do have to flip him.
Yeah, and you have that option.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, thank you, Joe. And Danny Trevathan wants to tap into his inner Grinch in order to ruin Christmas for the Detroit Lions. Can the Bears Scrooge them? We will ask Brad Biggs next. Mully and Hanley, Biggs time coming on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Hanley. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Car ready for winter? See your Car X man. He is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this program and a valued friend. Big Z!
Morning, boys. What's going on?
I want to go through this draft class with you, the 2017 draft class. We talked this morning about the idea of them coming to a pretty good conclusion against the Bengals, and can they keep it up against the Lions? And I just want to kind of go over each guy, if we could, Brad, and talk a little bit about the pluses and minuses. I was talking to some people this week about that very thing, and I'd be very curious to get your opinion. First of all, do you agree that this group, it seems like this was a class that was designed to help in the future, other than maybe Eddie Jackson because of need. Where are they at in terms of kind of a hurried development? I think we've seen a lot more from Cohen than we thought we would. Trubisky, the plan was not to play him, but, you know, the plan, you know, people, you know, what is the line? Man plans, God laughs. And then obviously Shaheen, we finally saw a little something from. And let's just go over these guys one by one.
Well, Trubisky is, barring something we don't expect, is going to finish this season with 12 starts. And that's a lot of playing time to kind of see where he's at, get a understanding on what he's done well, what he needs to get a little better at. And I think he'll, throughout this season, he's learning, you know, how to prepare on a weekly basis, which, you know, until guys do it in the NFL, they don't know. And that's going to be valuable for him moving forward. We've certainly seen, you know, some real positives from him. We've seen, you know, some things where you look at it and say, boy, that's got to get better. And the entire time we've acknowledged the skill position players around him need to be improved. So, you know, if he can put together some nice showings in these final three games, the arrow is certainly going to be pointing up on him.
And you know, it's what's interesting is the guy obviously comes in with 13 career starts, and now he's going to get 12 in his first year. After they talked about not playing him, we do know a lot more about him. We know that he's become more accurate, let's say, in the last two games, which is a really good statistic to look at with quarterbacks. But they haven't really kind of unleashed him in the fashion in which people were hoping. Are you expecting that in this game, maybe down the stretch, or will they continue to run? You know, I think a lot of people look at teams and think, hey, you know, whatever play you're sitting on, you're not going to be here next year. Run it now. And that never happens. Coaches don't change their DNA when they think they're on the way out.
Yeah, I think there's a chance we see him unleashed to a degree against the Lions. That's going to probably hinge on their ability to run the football as well. They've got to be multidimensional to have a chance to have success throwing the ball. And certainly they had that in Cincinnati. The Lions guys just not playing the run very well. And so that gives you reason to believe that the Bears can do a nice job. Detroit's actually ranked 19th in the league against the run, but remember the Bears went, I believe, for 222 on the ground against them in the first meeting. So I look at that and I say, hey, there's an opportunity for them to have success again. The Lions, statistically, their pass defense numbers are not very good either. They're poor in the red zone, but what the Lions have done well is they're actually pretty good on third down, and they've got 24 takeaways, tied for the third most in the National Football League. So if you can take the football away, that can clean up a lot of areas for you.
Shaheen was limited yesterday, and there's another guy that, you know, Mully was, you know, talking about you want to see more of if you're a Bears fan, because you like the big body in the red zone in particular. But can he take another step here in the final 3 weeks, starting with Detroit?
You know, I don't know if we're talking about another step for Adam Shaheen, because we've got such a short, you know, window here remaining. But if they can get him close to 100 snaps in that ballpark in the final 3 weeks, I think that would bode well. If they can get him some targets, and we talked about it earlier in the week, he had 9 targets going into the Bengals game. He got 5 in the Bengals game. So knowing that targets have been so scarce for him, and he's now got, a grand total of 14 on the season, let's not be crazy, but how about 12 targets in the final 3 games? I don't know. Just give him an opportunity. Let's see him out in the pattern. Let's see what he can do in the middle of the field, because ultimately, you know, they want that big body in the middle of the field that can kind of control that area and be a target that defenses have to account for. We liked some of what we saw against Cincinnati, but you've been waiting and waiting all the while, understanding that he's coming from D2. And when you love a guy, you need to draft him to make sure you get him. But maybe they went a little bit early with him in round 2.
Yeah, and I think when you think about it, his blocking, Brad, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, his number of plays, why, you know, where are his number of plays, I think the conclusion is that they, you know, he's more of a why, and that he's a guy that that they can get involved in the passing game, maybe not a guy like Olsen, who's like a pure pass catching tight end, but you know, he's a big guy. He's got to learn how to block, and the inline issues are the reason he doesn't get the plays that people want him to get.
Well, you see a play here and there from week to week where he's in that inline position and looks sort of out of control as the guy's going past him to make a tackle. So he's just got to adjust to that. He you know, didn't block big, explosive, powerful guys at Ashland. They're not on Ashland's schedule, so he's adjusting to that as he goes. But certainly, what we saw last week was promising, and he kind of projects a little bit. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not guaranteeing it, but this is the kind of guy that you would hope could make that really big jump from rookie year to year 2.
Right.
You know, we were talking to Wani the other day, Dave Wanstead, and I think he likened Eddie Jackson to Sean Gayle, that a guy who's always around the ball. When the ball's coming out or something good's happening on the defense, that guy's always there. Do you see that? Do you see, again, short sample size, small sample size, but we've seen a little bit of that.
Yeah, he's definitely been around the ball, and that's something that they've badly missed at that safety position for a long, long time. And the big question marks you had about him were the natural ones that you get when someone moves a cornerback to the middle of the field, the safety. Can he tackle? Can he hold up? Can he be effective in the box? And Eddie's had some missed tackles this season. I don't think there's any question about that. But it hasn't been for not being a willing participant. You know, sometimes you see guys that are poor tacklers and they've just got no interest in getting dirty and doing the job. And Eddie is, Vic Fangio described him as prideful when I asked him about it recently. And he had some games here recently that weren't that great, but then played well at Cincinnati, and that's maybe that's not a bad comparison by Wani to Sean Gayle, who was always around the ball. You know, never put up huge numbers, but long career, played for a long time, and 16 interceptions, 12 fumble recoveries, 11 forced fumbles. That's a guy who had a knack for finding the football.
And, you know, I think the difference, though, is that Sean started out as a special teams player on a great team, and obviously became a Pro Bowl safety. But he you know, when you talk to people about Eddie Jackson, they have issues with his kind of, you know, point of attack. The issue, like, Sean was a heavy hitter, and yeah, I think Eddie's more of a ball hawk. If
Eddie's a little bit smaller.
To be polite,
Eddie is. Listen, Eddie's that athletic guy at the safety position, and we don't have enough time remaining this morning to kind of recount
the box, number of them,
the box safeties the Bears have had in the last, you know, 15 seasons.
Do you still have the list, Brad? Do you still have it on the computer?
I'd have to get around to find it, but
it's like the Sean-o-meter with the Cubs. You had the safety-o-meter. You just kept clicking it.
Yeah, but the athletic guy that can play the safety position is the one that they've struggled to find. I mean, that's a tough guy to find, and so I think you have to understand what he is, understand what his strengths are, and sort of watch him develop. And he's been he's been a good player for them. He's, when Ryan Pace talks about these young guys getting experience this season, certainly Eddie's at or near the top of that list.
Yeah, when they took the human joystick. I remember getting a call from a guy who was like, they have Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey and Jordan. Like, why? And I was like, well, you know, they want a different type of back. Now Kadeem Carey and Jeremy Langford are long gone.
Yeah.
You know, they got a different type of back, though.
No, Cohen's a much different type of back, and they've been able to find uses for him, and they continue to try to develop new ways to get him the ball. Maybe that was their, you know, the single biggest mistake possibly for these guys this year was coming out of that bye week and facing the Packers in a game they really had to win. And Cohen had, I think, single digit snaps in that game. So they sort of blew that. But an interesting guy. But, you know, you can't call a guy like that your greatest playmaker because he's a gadget player.
Yep.
You can only have him on the field so often. So, and they finally, by getting Cohen, filled the void they had in the return game, which had been around for a couple seasons. I think he can still get better in that area. They can probably get a little bit better around him in that special teams area. But for a fourth-round pick, he's been dynamite.
All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate it, Brad. As always, we'll be looking forward to talking to you tomorrow and getting a big pick.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, football man from the Tribune.
One of our texters, here's the question of the day. Bears, more safeties or more quarterbacks last 20 years?
Oh, my God.
This segment with Brad was brought to us by Webb Chevy for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago. Visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn.
He used to have this running list
yeah.
as a combination
Updated.
Of those guys. It was ridiculous. I mean, it was
weekly update.
It was absolutely insane how many different, greens and grays and blues and everybody had the name of a wonderful cover. I think they had Joe Moive played at one point. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to bring in Casey Johnson. Casey will tell us about the Nico effect. And will the Bulls ever lose again? Is the 4-game winning streak going to turn into a 12-game, 15-game, 17-game winning streak? Can they get back to 500 with what they're doing right now? We're joking, but we're not. Mully and Hanley on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.